Thank you for that, Sharla. We appreciate our musicians as they take time to practice and to be ready for us to minister to us and to help us as we minister to the Lord and lift up our voices to Him in song. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, we continue our topic, if you will, of walking with the Lord. We started last week and we'll continue on, probably taking us through the rest of July, and look at that which God uses to help us understand our walk with the Lord. He calls it a walk, just again, to help us understand what's involved, because this is working in the spiritual realm of our lives, and it's always helpful to bring illustrations, and God does a wonder at that in the Scriptures, and so giving us personal physical illustrations to help understand spiritual truths, and walking is one of those. But to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, we kind of start off the first of his sentences, and we'll go ahead and read verse 7 as well, but our focus is on the fact that we have the word walk in verse 6. But he says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Let's pray. Father, we come to thee. We thank you for this time that we can now look into thy word. We've lifted our hearts in worship and praise and adoration of you in song. We have worshiped you in our giving, thanking you and praising you for all that you have done in us and through us and for us. Father, we come now to the time where we open thy word. I pray that our hearts and minds are truly open this morning, that we are, as believers who are gathered here, yielded vessels, ready for you to use us as you deem fit. As the writer in scriptures remind us, gives us the image of being a piece of clay that is able to be shaped and molded by the master's hand, by the potter's hand. Father, we are that lump of clay in thy hand. And may we yield to your working. But Father, where sin is exposed, may we confess it. Ask for your forgiveness. Where there is admonition, encouragement, Father, may we take it and move on for you. Father, we pray that, as has already been prayed, that we would go forth better equipped than when we came. Father, more Christ-like than when we came, because of the working of the Holy Spirit with your word in each of our hearts. Father, we know that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish that which you please. So, Father, we rest in that assurance. Pray that we would have open and ready hearts for you to use, not hardened and calloused hearts. Father, for that soul that may be here lost, may they see their need of trusting Christ. And may we be able to show them out of the scriptures how they can know the forgiveness of sin, to be cleansed and washed by the blood of Christ. Father, to know that heaven is their home. Do a work that only you can. And we will rejoice in what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So we started our series last week on walking. I think Psalm 1, and we touched on it some, it's an introductory psalm to the book of Psalms, and it does a very good job of introducing us to what's out there. Because it shows us, it paints for us vividly the paths that are available for us to walk in. The psalmist declares that if you stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of the scornful, and walk in these things that are wrong, you have a disastrous end. But if you don't do those things, and instead you walk with the Lord, you're like that tree that is planted by the rivers of water. The trees flourish there. You're blessed. And you have a blessed end. These truths truly are as vital today and relevant today as they were when the psalmist penned those. When we read through the Psalms, I love starting with that psalm because it sets the tone, and the rest of the Psalms and their praise and all that they have going on really bear back to the truth that we find in that first psalm. Whether it's looking at the history of Israel, as some of the Psalms depict, you see the truth of Psalm 1 being lived out. When they didn't serve God, when they didn't follow Him, they had problems. But when they followed God, then they had God's blessings, holding forth the truth of Psalm 1. And so it does us well to, I think God in His wisdom put it there for that reason. But as we look in the New Testament, and especially the church epistles, we find that word walk. We find it often. The human authors that God used to write the book would show us and give us, as we've already noted, everyday experiences to help us understand the spiritual truth that they were giving. And again, pastors, preachers to this day will continue to do that same thing. It helps us to understand, because it is spiritual truth that we can't put our hands on, we can't handle and grasp it, and it can be at times hard to fathom. And so God helps us by kind of shedding some light on it, by giving us a simple earthly truth, a simple earthly principle, and showing us that there are some spiritual implications to this as well. And so our apostle here, Paul, who wrote this one and many others, he often spoke of sports or farming as a means of getting God's message across. And we see that walking is used as well to describe the life we have in Jesus Christ. It is a journey. It is a walk. And we'll look at that as we go through this series. The word walk is used some 63 times in our New Testament. Now, we'll not look at all 63 of those verses, but we'll look at many of them as we go through and consider this truth over the next few Sunday mornings. And we'll trust that God will help us to understand that this is a walk, and it speaks definitively of a walk as opposed to a stroll or to meander, which has no definite, definitive path, plan, time. You know, our English language is truly a fascinating language. We have often many words, and the Greek does the same thing in other realms. But when we say we're going on a walk, we should typically be speaking of we have a particular route that we are taking. We have a time frame involved. And it is set. If we're going to take a stroll, well, that's different. We're going to meander. We're just going to walk. We're not going to have a set time necessarily. And we may not have a set destination, but we'll just take a stroll. My wife and I, before we were married, would take strolls. Our courtship, if you will, when we were engaged, I was in South Carolina, and she was back in North Carolina. And I would come home on payday weekends, which was every other week. And I would either leave after school was out when I was in school, or leave work earlier in the evening and get home late. But we would stroll on a Saturday afternoon around the residential area where her apartment building was. And we'd just walk and we'd talk. We were strolling. We had no definite plan on how we were working those blocks. I'm sure those people living in those homes on those Saturdays were wondering, what in the world is that couple doing? They've come around here three times this afternoon now, and they're still walking. They're still going by our house. We had no set pattern. We just walked around through that residential section and just had a good time talking, getting to know each other, and looking forward to the life that God would give to us together as husband and wife. But it was a stroll. We were walking, yes, putting one foot in front of the other, but it was not a walk that we had a desired destination. Now, we did have a desired destination. We went back to her apartment, where she went up to her apartment, and I got in my car, and I drove off. But it was a stroll in the sense that we didn't have a set pattern and laid out. But as we look at our word here, we find four things that we see, spiritually speaking, that our walk involves. It involves a person. That would be us. You as an individual. It would also involve Christ, as we see in our text. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So there is a person. There is a purpose, there is a plan, and there is a pace. We'll look at those this morning as we consider our walk in Christ Jesus the Lord. He has commanded us here. We are to walk in him. That word walk is a verb, and it is in the imperative. We are to walk in him. As believers, should that not be our desire? I think in one sense we shouldn't need a command, and yet God reminds us we do need a command for this. And I think, well, so, because he also understands we as believers who have trusted Christ as our Savior also have that old sinful nature that we had before we came to Christ. And that old sinful nature is not bent in walking a spiritual walk. It is bent in taking us as far away from God as it could. And so we do need a command. Yes, we have a new life in Christ, and that is a new thing to us. And God reminds us that we are to walk, but we have that person who, as he considers here, the people that Paul is writing to are believers. He's writing to the church, the saints, that are gathered in the town of Colossae. So he's addressing believers. He's not addressing the lost to walk in Christ Jesus the Lord. They can't. They haven't come to Christ to begin with. They need to come to Christ, believing that he died in their place for their sins, and trust. Repent of their sins. So we're talking about a saved person. Paul to the Ephesians will say something along these same lines as well in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, where he says, "For ye were sometimes darkness." And sometimes we understand that a little more fully with what we were before we trusted Christ. Some would say, yes, that describes my life before I trusted Christ. I was in darkness. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We have a new direction in Christ. We are that person, a saved person, a surrendered person. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, he says, "If we live in the Spirit," and as a believer, we have the understanding that we do. It's not an option. We do, as believers, live in the Spirit. He continues, "Let us also walk in the Spirit." We're a saved person, we're a surrendered person. The Holy Spirit will help us in this walk. We can look at our Christian life, we can look at the things that are there. It's not an easy life. As you talk to older folks that have been saved for quite some time, maybe as long as we've been alive, I've never come across one that said, "You know what? My life as a believer was a piece of cake. It's been an easy life." I have yet to come across one that will say that. They'll look back and say, "Yes, it's been a hard life. I've had my struggles. I've had my ups and my downs, my mountaintops and my valleys." But those that are walking with the Lord will say it's been a blessed life. It's been a joyous life. It's been a fruitful life. It's been one that I do not have regrets living when I was living for the Lord. That's what I find. But are we surrendered to that? We should be. As I've said, we are going to heaven one day. That's our destination. That's the end of our walk, is heaven. And we will get there, folks. But as I have said often, and we probably will say it more often in the years to come, are we going with joy and rejoicing, I trust, or are we going kicking and screaming? I trust we're not going kicking and screaming, because usually that ends with a shorter life and being in rebellion against our God. God doesn't take highly to that. He chastens those whom he loves. He wants us living for him, walking the life that he has laid out for us. We don't know what's coming up. And again, I think those of us that have lived any time would readily tell you, I don't want to know what's ahead. I've told folks, if someone would have told me the day that I went onto the campus of Bob Jones University on Labor Day, if somebody would have told me on that day, Brian, you're not going to go through this institution in 4 years. You're going to come and go, and you're going to graduate 9 years from now. I know I would have run after that white Dodge Demon car that my dad brought me in and said, Dad, take me home. I'm 9 years to do this thing. I'm not interested. That's way too long. But I was a dumb 17-year-old, hadn't even turned 18 yet at that point. And I'm glad God didn't reveal at that time what my life just in college was going to entail. Because I would have probably given up and said, you know what, why can't I do this in 4 years like everybody else, Lord? Because the Lord knew I needed some more training and more growing and more maturing, I guess. So I'm thankful he doesn't reveal to us long way out the future, but he does give us light from his word to show the path in front of us so we can take our next step. And we can walk securely in that knowledge. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God will guide us. Regardless of where we're at, whether we're young or old, we like to know what's ahead, love to see what's around the corner, but God in his infinite wisdom doesn't always reveal that to us. But he does give us enough for the next step. And we take that by faith and live by faith, and he gives us the next step. Light for a little bit further. And we can make it around that corner. And he's prepared us for what's ahead. I find that, in a sense, amazing. That as we do come to places and we do have time to reflect and look back and we realize, yes, God's been preparing me all along the way, and now I have this happening, but God's prepared it because of these other things that have happened. They've been little things, maybe they've been big things, but they have been things that have prepared us for this. And we start to understand that as these things come along, it's also preparing us for that which is ahead. And ultimately, he's preparing us for heaven. I've often thought he's preparing us so that it's not such a culture shock to arrive into his presence. That's hard to picture because we don't have many glimpses of it. Isaiah does in Isaiah chapter 6. And so I'd encourage us sometimes look at the response of Isaiah to that glimpse that he has of heaven. And realize there's a huge difference between now and then. And God is preparing us for it in this life. The person who, that's us, a saved and surrendered person. The purpose, the why. Why walk? Well, as we've already kind of noted, God commands it. He wants us to walk. There's a destination, as we've already touched on, that is waiting for us. He places that command there. Walk ye in him. Walk in Christ. Follow the teachings that he has laid for us in his word. And he commends us to it. Again, back in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, He notes, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sweet and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Let me read that again. "Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." We have Christ as our example in our walk. He loved. So we can look at the Gospels and see, how did Christ live this earthly life? Now I realize Christ was a perfect human being. He lived the perfect life that we could not. Perfectly fulfilling the law of God. He was the perfect human because he was the God-man. You say, "But Pastor, I'm not that." You're right, we're not. But he's given us the pattern. He's given us the example, and he tells us to follow it. Follow his steps, Peter will say. Not follow in his steps. I know there is a book, and I would not recommend it, that says, it's the title, "In His Steps." I would not recommend it. I mean, it's a nice novel, but there's a lot missing there. We can't walk in his steps. Christ was God in the flesh. As we see the examples there, as we see him interact with people, he knew what was in their hearts. He knew exactly what they were thinking. He knew their life before that moment. He knows their life after that moment. I don't know that about you. I'm not God. I can't respond exactly as he would because I don't have all that information. But I can follow that path that he has laid. And much like an adult going through the snow, the children can't necessarily follow in those steps, but they can follow that path that was laid. And we'll trudge through. We won't have the stride of our master that we can put footprint into footprint, but we see the path that he has laid. And while our steps may be shorter, we'll still follow that path. He commends it to us. We have him as an example. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." God commends it. It is a good walk. Follow the path. We'll be blessed as we do. The plan. Where? Well, we do have a starting point, which we've already touched on, and that is salvation. Coming back to Colossians chapter 2, he says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." How many of us have tried to walk that path before we ever trusted Christ as our Savior and found that we struggled, we got frustrated, we couldn't understand why in the world things weren't seemingly working out like we thought they should be? It's because we were trying to live a spiritual life in the power of the flesh. Then God got a hold of our hearts and showed us that, yes, we were sinners, lost and undone, incapable of satisfying the demands of a just God. And God showed us through the Scriptures how Christ died in our place, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, shedding his blood for us that we might have life and might have it more abundantly when we place our faith and trust in him. And now we can live that new life. Because as that believer in Christ, he has indwelt us. And he who has trod that path before us is now with us to guide us and help us walk the Christian walk. There is a finishing point. And again, we've already again touched on it. It's heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul notes to the Thessalonians, he says that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Our starting point is salvation. Our ending point is being with him in glory. What a joy to know that that's the end point. Not some point in this life. Not thinking that, well, if I live for God, it's good until I die. It goes beyond that, folks. If in this life we have faith in God, we are of all men most miserable, to kind of take from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There's more to the Christian life than this life. There's eternity waiting for us. This corruptible will put on incorruption. The mortal will put on immortality. And we will be with our God forever. He's gone to prepare a place for us. And he will come back to take us unto his own. We have that as our plan, the where, the starting, the finishing point. Our life is in between those. A life that can be lived for him to enjoy all the blessedness. I appreciate the fact that I have had throughout my Christian life to be able to be around the older generation who has lived the Christian life. And they're still living it. In their golden years, their sunset, you know, whatever you want to call it, the seasoned years. And you see the vibrancy that is there, the joy that is there, though there are hardships. Yet the joy of the Lord is their strength. And I've always been blessed by that as I have looked at that at every stage in my life, whether it's a junior high student, first coming to know Christ, a high school student, a college student, a middle-aged man, and now starting to become one of those that they're looking at because I'm the older generation now, but rejoicing that God is faithful. If God has brought them to this point, and they're joying and rejoicing, and we know a little bit of their life and know the hardships, and yet they have the joy of the Lord, then surely he can do it for me too. I know my life isn't going to be a bed of roses. And I see what God has done there, and then he can do it for me. I can come to the end of my life and know that I've lived for him as I ought. It can be done. If they can do it, I can do it. Not because of who they are or what I am, but because of who Christ is and what he has done in them and through them, and what he can do in and through me. Our pace. The how. Determined by our willingness. Back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom. Are we willing? Young person, middle-aged person, older person, are we willing? We who know Christ, he's commanded us to do so. He wants us to do so. He will take us to Him, as we've already mentioned. The end point is the same. The question is, how long in this life are we be living it? That's all in God's hands. But may we walk worthy of God, who hath called us into His kingdom and glory. A willingness to do so. Again, whether we're young, whether we're old, God, I'll walk where You would have me walk. I'll do what You would have me do. I'll go where You would have me go. Because that is far more blessed than trying to figure it out on our own. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 again, says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Our yieldedness. Letting God be at work in our hearts. Using His Word to light that path before us, to show the steps that we are to take. I know I've touched on it, and I've talked to a few of you as we've talked about our lives. As an upperclassman in high school, God started working in my heart that He had a will for me. Something I had never considered in the three, four-ish years since I knew Christ as my Savior. I had my plans. I had it all laid out. As far as I was concerned, I'm doing things in high school so that I can be accepted into the U.S. Naval Academy. So that I can be a fighter pilot for the U.S. Navy. That was my will. But in those upperclassmen years, God started showing me, as I was growing in Him, returning back to a place where I could attend church on a regular basis, ended up into a Christian school for those last 2 years of high school. I wasn't arrogant about it up to that point. Just that's what I wanted to do. I wasn't thumbing my nose at God about it. God had never really entered into that equation as far as that God has a will for your life. But as that starts to unfold, the other never develops. But a battle starts to ensue. Lord, I don't like standing up in front of people. You want me to stand up in front of a group of people and talk? Lord, I have a hard time with that. You know how nervous I get. And we start bargaining with God, don't we? I did. Lord, there are other guys in this high school. There are other guys in this church. They would do a much better job, Lord. Go talk to them, not me. You can't bargain with God. That didn't work. He was still prodding me on. Go off to college, a freshman. I'm still struggling with this. I take the, within the preacher boys class, I take the lowest degree, lowest program, but still be in the school of religion, still be a preacher boy. I'm a church administration major. And I'm still bargaining with God. God, I'll be a missionary pilot. I've already come across some of them. That's pretty cool. Love to do what I would love to do, fly, and I'll fly the missionaries around the South Pacific Islands or somewhere in Africa. Lord, I'll do the flying and I'll move them from point A to point B and they can minister. They can be the ones standing up and preaching the gospel. God was saying, no, 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 it's you. It's you that I want. And so in February of my freshman year, I had had enough. Now, I was saved, but the idea that Christ gives to Paul or Saul on the Damascus Road, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It is. It's hard to bargain with God. You can't. And so I surrendered. I said, okay, Lord, I don't understand why. But if you want me to preach, then I'll do so. I don't have regrets on that. I think back to sometime in the 80s or early 90s. I forget the event that took place, but it struck me. Our military was doing something in some part of the world, and an F-14 pilot went down and was killed. And it struck me like a ton of bricks. That could have been me. Now, to anybody else, it doesn't matter, but God got my attention with that and reminded me, your life is in my hands, son. And if you had gone your own way, that may have been you. And your life would have been cut short. But instead, you chose to follow my leading. And I thanked the Lord that day. Again, that didn't mean anything to anybody else, but it sure had an impact on my life at that moment to realize that, yes, that could have been me. Because that's what I wanted to be. And that man lost his life. Yes, he was protecting our country, and I salute him and rejoice in that, but God had other plans. God had a different path, a different walk. May we surrender to do it. Have that yieldedness to walk the path that he has for us. It's a blessed path. Just talk to senior saints. Sit down and talk with them. See how God has used them, how he's blessed them. Our walk with him, there are no regrets when we walk with him and he shows us the way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you, Father, for the instruction. Father, at times we may wrinkle and stiffen at a command. Yet, Father, it is for our own good and for your glory. Father, I'm always struck by how blessed we are when we follow your word. And we see you at work in our lives and through us. And yet you bless us. And we've really done nothing. It's been all your work. Father, help each of us here this morning to see where we are in our walk. Father, truly, are we walking? Is there progress going forward for you? Are we maturing, becoming more Christ-like? Is our end goal in our sight? Have we set our affections on things above? Do we see that finish line? Or, Father, are we sliding backwards like the moving sidewalk and going against it, and we're being pulled in the wrong direction? Father, may we be active in walking for you, living for you. When we stop to consider, there are fellow believers in need of our walking for you, with you. There is a lost and dying world around us, looking on, wondering. Help us to be that light. Help us to walk in the light, as we've been reminded of this morning. Because we were in darkness at one time. But Father, the blessed light of the gospel of Jesus Christ has shined in our hearts and has changed us. May we walk in that light, that we may see others come to that light. Do a work, we pray this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'd like for us to consider this morning, where are we in our walk? It's not for me, but is there anyone that would say, Pastor, God's dealt with my heart about my walk? And you just with an uplifted hand, say, Pastor, pray for me. God's dealt with things about my walk. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. May we be willing to follow him. It's his path. He's gone before us. He's there with us. May we have no regrets when it's time to go home. Father, we thank you for thy word. May it stay long after the moments of this time. May it linger in our hearts in the days and weeks to come. Because we will be walking tomorrow as you give us Monday. May we ponder our path. May we stop and think and reflect. And trust you. You will lead us on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.